Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp. The first week of the disjointed college football season got underway this weekend, but it wasn't without hiccups. What's that mean going forward? And for the Big Ten, we'll break it down on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Brian Huber, Tom Dienhart by in just a couple of minutes. All right, Brian, let's jump right into this. So let's see, this weekend, many games were played. Texas State played a football game without any tight ends. Let's see, Georgia, which was not scheduled to play, lost its quarterback due to him opting out. Tennessee was not scheduled to play but canceled its scrimmage because it had 44 players out, either due to positive COVID test or contact tracing. TCU, SMU is postponed for this coming weekend. Rice has pushed back the delayed start of its season. I mean, look, there were some positives because games got played, but there's some hiccups here as well, I guess, not to be unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to lay that out and make it sound like I'm definitively saying the Big Ten did the right thing. I don't think any of us really know. But I think this weekend, this was not a full slate of games. This was a skeleton crew, yeah. A skeleton schedule of relatively minor games. And this was a pretty good reflection of what all is going to go into playing football this season. It is going to be a chore each and every week to get a game played because between COVID and probably more significantly the contact tracing, it is just going to be a day-to-day thing for all of these college football programs. You look at Middle Tennessee State, too. They only had Army, I think, added to their schedule less than a month ago. Army is one of the hardest teams to prepare for out there. All of the academies are, and they got worked. I can't remember what the score was.
Yeah.
42-0 or something like that. It is just going to be, you know, it is going to be chaos from one week to another, most likely. I think this weekend set a pretty ominous tone for everybody, you know, trying to play football this season.
Yeah, I don't know that there is a victory for the Big Ten. I think that it sort of jumped out on the ledge here by itself with the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 matters. But, you know, jumped out here on this ledge by itself, anticipating that everyone else would too, and then no one else did.
Correct.
But, yeah, but, you know, the SEC seems like it's going to play, regardless of what is going on around it. I think the contact tracing issue is sort of the big one, right? Because I always talked about, even months ago, what happens when your entire offensive line either tests positive or has to sit out the game, or at least the starters do. And we saw it with Texas State over the weekend with tight ends. Now, tight ends, no offense to our tight end friends, that might be the least important position group, I guess. I mean, you can play a game without tight ends. Might be the least important position group. But if it was a different position group, Texas State wouldn't have been able to play the game.
Right. And the NCAA, I think, put out some sort of standard or something this past weekend where you have to have 53 guys or something like that to play. I believe was the number. I shouldn't have said that because I didn't know the exact.
I've got that whole
specific.
Brian, I actually have that right in front. I have that here right in front of me. It was the Big 12, unless the NCAA adopted it too, but I saw that the Big 12 announced,
okay.
Yeah, that you have to have 53 players minimum to play a game, including scholarship and walk-on players. The league also set minimums for the number of available offensive linemen at 7, defensive linemen at 4, which would seem to be the minimum, and quarterbacks at 1, which also would seem to be
the minimum.
the minimum also. So, but 53
right.
being the number that of guys that you have to have available to be able to play the football game.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, we've been talking about all along here is the logistics that are going to go into just preparation every week to make sure that – I don't know if it's like taking your first and third string quarterbacks in one meeting room and your second and fourth in another meeting room, you know, to make sure that – you don't get completely wiped out at a position. But just so much from a day-to-day management perspective is going to go to the virus this year, that it's going to be really, really hard to prepare for games. That's why I always kind of said, even, you know, kind of back months when we thought the Big Ten was going to play, that, you know, the records weren't going to matter as much this year. The results weren't going to matter as much this year. There was victory just in playing. And if you got to the point where you could just have a season, that would have been a hell of a deal, because this is just, the circumstances here are just so trying.
Is there any win for the Big Ten in all of this?
Well, you don't root for the Big Ten to win, because that would mean something bad happened to somebody else. And they had to kind of cut things off. The SEC is playing a season no matter what. It doesn't matter what happens. The SEC is getting to week 12. There is just simply no way around that. Culturally, economically, it is just what's more important down there than a pandemic. They are playing a season.
Yeah.
But if the Big Ten, you know, if things work out okay for the Big Ten where, you know, they end up having a successful January to February type of season, whatever it may be, and it comes off like you have made the best of a really bad situation, you've done so responsibly, you can claim the moral high ground, for lack of a better term. I know this is very little consolation to a lot of people who really want football right now, but I'm just kind of speaking hypothetically here. There are scenarios here where it doesn't turn out as bad as it may be, as it may seem right now. You might have a captive audience all to yourself from a TV perspective in the winter and spring, which would make up for kind of sitting on the sideline right now to a certain extent, not entirely probably, but to a certain extent. What you have to worry about is if you have a season that starts in January, who's going to play? You have to worry about, you know, whether or not your seniors and your NFL guys are going to play. You do have to worry too, to a certain extent. I know the Big Ten is probably leaning toward January for this reason, but you also have to worry about the effect on next season a little bit too. That would be the big issue for the spring model. But there are scenarios here where, you know, the Big Ten still has a decent season, something worth playing. I understand that's probably very, 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 very little consolation right now to people who are still disappointed, angry, whatever emotion they might be feeling about the postponement of football. But that's just, there are scenarios here where the Big Ten doesn't come out of this looking as bad as they probably look right now.
Yeah, and I thought one of those scenarios was the Thanksgiving weekend. In fact, I thought it was going to be voted on. That was my understanding, but of course last week came and went without that being voted on. Now maybe it will be at some point, but you're right in that, you know, maybe the Big Ten comes out looking okay if it does play eventually, and if it does sort of have some exclusivity to its college football season, with the possibility of maybe playing on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, that sort of thing, when there's really nothing else going on. But it came and went last week, did, without any sort of further plan by the Big Ten. How long do you think the conference waits till it comes up with something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of bad information out there right now. But I also think that the Big Ten should be relatively close to having some sort of proposal to make, at least in terms of what they want to do here. You know, the Thanksgiving thing seems to very much be on the table. The October thing is a non-starter. That's just not happening. The January thing, though, might be the most reasonable, simply because of, I think they're really counting on, you know, increased access to improved testing, more rapid response type testing. What the Pac-12 just got, the saliva direct thing, could come out and kind of change the game for them. Whether you can have that by Thanksgiving, obviously the big selling point for Thanksgiving is your campuses pretty much clear out at that time at a lot of places, and that would allow you to kind of bubble up. But I think I think the testing is really, really the most important part of this, and that if that's possible by November, I don't know if you can even know right now if that's possible by November, perhaps November happens. It would be funny in a sick sort of way for the Big Ten to be playing on its own while everybody else is playing for the national title. Obviously, I don't think in November you could be part of that, obviously, but I do think January is probably the more reasonable of the two scenarios. I can't claim to have any sort of inside knowledge there. I'm just trying to apply my own logic to it.
Yeah. Would Purdue have beaten Nebraska?
I have no idea.
would it have beaten
because
Michigan?
I don't think they would have beaten Michigan. The thing about Nebraska is they have to get better at some point, right? You know,
yeah.
They can't keep being as mediocre as they've been. I figured they had to take a pretty significant jump this year. Purdue, I would have had no idea what to expect from their quarterback position. I would have had no idea what to expect from their defense, two pretty important parts of a college football team. Obviously, not having Rondell Moore, I think, would have limited you a little bit in terms of what you could do offensively. I still think Purdue could have been okay offensively, but they would have had to have had really good quarterback play all season long, and they would have had to obviously proven some things from a defensive perspective with this new system they're implementing,
yeah.
Which I would have had no idea what to expect there. So I have to give you a big I don't know on that one.
Yeah, no way really to answer that. All right, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Right. No problem. See you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Tom Dienhardt. Follow up a little bit more with him. Can its plans or non-plans or what have you? We'll do that coming up next on Cold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill Industrial Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Set it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Koppelman a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in over 40 states, www.jfqlending.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Kyle Turner's here with Tom Dienhardt. All right, Tom, let's break it down. Purdue gets the 31-28 win over Nebraska on Saturday. J.D. Jellinger, 64-yard field goal to win it. Incredible.
I like it. I could see that, right? Breeze blowing from the north. Who knows, Kyle? That was such an intriguing matchup to begin the season, not just from a Purdue-Nebraska Big Ten perspective, but nationally, too, I think. And under the radar, like I said, game that really means a lot for two programs, as I like to say, trying to climb over each other in the pecking order of the Big Ten West. So, again, I wish we could have seen how that played out, Kyle. If you can believe it, Purdue's won the last two against the Huskers. Could they have made it three in a row?
Yeah, that would have been quite something. Unfortunately, the weekend has come and gone without that game being played, and that game in particular will never be played. Tom, I thought that the Big Ten was – I really thought there was going to be a vote on a plan on Thanksgiving last week, and that there seemed to be some real momentum over that plan. But then the week came and went with nothing happening. There's so much misinformation out there that it's sort of hard to – you know, follow exactly what is happening, what the Big Ten is thinking, when it might have a plan, when that plan might be. But I was surprised to see last week come and go without anything being announced.
Yeah, that was the hot rumor, like you said. Know this too, Kyle. A lot of those quote-unquote leaks came from Ohio State and Nebraska to their media in particular. Those are the two schools that have been most vocal about wanting to play for their own selfish reasons, especially Ohio State. She's a possible national title out there for them to win. So, again, they were doing all they can to try to push their agenda. We've been told a million times, Kyle, this isn't a decision for ADs, coaches, fans, or players. It's a decision in the lap. Or even Kevin Warren, honestly, Kyle. It's in the lap of the presence. We all understand that. And I think that's a lot of wishful thinking on the part of a lot of people to think they were going to reverse course and we're going to suddenly have football in October in the Big Ten. Now, having said that, I still think of all the models we've seen, the most likely one will be that January model if the Big Ten gets a season off the ground, Kyle. And it's also important to note that the Football Oversight Committee last week, it recommended the Division I Council that, you know, of all the spring models they like, that they prefer the January model. And you're gonna, and if they do adopt that, Kyle, teams are going to have 13 weeks to play their 8 games. So, again, makes a lot of sense. And listen, you and Brian, there are several pros to maybe pulling off this January-February season for the Big Ten. There's no doubt about that.
And one of them would be some exclusivity, right? I mean, you'd be the only game in town.
Yeah, exactly. But I still worry about maybe more guys just opting out now. Once a reality becomes true, once we see a plan unveiled, the Ohio State players in particular, Kyle, can look at it and say, do we really want to be part of this? Does Justin Fields want to be part of this? Does Sean Wade want to be part of this? Who knows who else, but could we see more elite talent jump ship and say, hey, I didn't sign up for winter football in domes on neutral sites in front of no fans. I'm out of here. I'm training for the NFL. We've already seen a lot of players nationally do that in the Big Ten as well. So that's certainly a worry, I think, Kyle. But there's also – always important to remember this too, my friend. I've been told a million times, and you've read it other places, people have heard it. Whatever the Big Ten does this winter, if it has a season, it does not want to disrupt the fall of 2021 season, Kyle. Absolutely, they want to play a normal 12-game schedule then. So whatever they do, they want to have a big enough buffer between a winter season and next fall.
Yeah, one of the latest to opt out, nationally at least, Georgia quarterback Jamie Newman, who decides not to play after his transfer over from Wake Forest. A little bit of an interesting one because he, at least it's my understanding, and I don't know a lot about it, but a draft pick, but not like he's the top quarterback, you know, coming out this year. So an opportunity for him to improve his stock, and he chooses not to do so. But you're right, I think, in that if the Big Ten plays in January without the possibility for, you know, Ohio State to win a national championship, you know, the possibility would be the Rose Bowl against a Pac-12 opponent. It just seems like that would not be enough. You know, you might even have some guys who are underclassmen opt out of playing that spring season, right? I mean, not just guys that are seniors and going on to the NFL, but you might have guys simply who don't want to play 21 games in one calendar year decide they don't want to play.
Yeah, and I think you would still retain a year of eligibility as well if you, I think you decided to do that. So, yeah, all the moving parts and dynamics, there's so many of them, Kyle. Again, once we actually see this plan, then everybody will know, they'll know where the starting line is, so to speak, and they can start making their decisions. Teams can start preparing accordingly. Players can make their decisions as well. And like you said, what will the Big Ten be playing for in January and February? I guess just a Big Ten championship. I mean, that still has cachet and has importance. So that still would be on the line. And like you said, maybe a Rose Bowl. That's not a done deal yet. We saw the Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott late last week address that, how he wanted to try to have his conference's season line up with the Big Ten's for those very reasons, to have not just a Rose Bowl, Kyle, but maybe other bowl matchups between Pac-12 and Big Ten teams in the spring. So those are maybe postseason carrots as well that teams could be playing for in this, you know, I guess, you know, early second semester season.
Well, the Pac-12 probably has to follow whatever the Big Ten does to have any sort of national relevance. If it wanted to just have more than some regional relevance, I suppose. So when do you think we hear anything from the Big Ten? Is it this week? Next week?
I think
sometime this month.
I think it's probably I think it's soon. There were some reports. I know Pat Forty, I think a week ago last Friday, thought it would be 7 to 10 days then. So this is the 10th day since then, Kyle. It's a holiday today, maybe nothing today. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if maybe we see something this week, to be honest with you. If not this week, next week. I certainly think here in the next 2 weeks, the Big Ten is going to come out with something. Again, that's just a guess, but from what I've heard other people report and talk about, it sounds like it could be right at the precipice. I've seen what that plan looks like for the spring and winter.
All right, Tom, appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll be back next on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar. 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs, including now goldenblack.com designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Perhaps we'll find out more from the Big Ten football perspective this week. The latest on the Purdue angle of that, of course, at goldandblack.com. All right, enjoy the rest of your holiday. That will do it for our podcast for this week. Back again, of course, next week. Thanks to our sponsors, including East End Grill, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Home Field Apparel, along with Pethew Follett's, and the 6th Street Dive, and our newest sponsor, of course, as well, JFQ Lending. Hello for our podcast. Thanks to Ryan Newbert and Tom Deanhart. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.